Welcome in to Family Devotions with Religionless Christianity. We're so grateful you're here. We're happy that you're joining us as we continue our walk through the book of Genesis, today discussing Genesis chapter 24. This week, we have come to the marriage of Isaac. Genesis 24 jumps forward to Abraham advanced in age, it says in verse 1. 140 years old, to be exact. As we know, Abraham had Isaac at 100, and we know, according to our very next chapter, Genesis 25, that Isaac is 40 years old when he gets married to Rebekah. At this advanced stage of life, Abraham's heart is set on finding a wife for his son Isaac, an important milestone if God's covenantal promise would prove true to Abraham that his descendants would be as the stars of the sky. So Abraham calls in his servant, most likely Eliezer, his chief and most trusted servant, and commissions him to set off back to Abraham's homeland to find the woman who would marry his son. The servant, who was likely well advanced in years himself, sets off without hesitation to complete the task he had been given. Arriving in Nahor, the servant lifts a prayer to God, but not just any prayer. This was a very specific prayer that would clearly identify that it was God at work, God bringing the right woman across his path. Genesis chapter 24, verses 13 through 14 records this prayer, or at least a part of it. And the servant prayed, "Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now it may be that the young woman to whom I say, 'Please let down your jar so that I may drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I will give water to your camels to drink also,' may she be the one you have decided for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master." God, of course, comes through, answering the prayer exactly, and answering it in the person of the beautiful Rebekah. In response to this great blessing of the answered prayer, the servant asks who her father was, and to further solidify that this was the woman, she tells the servant that she is the relative of Abraham's brother, Nahor. There was now no doubt in the servant's mind that this was who he came to find. So he heads off to Rebekah's home to meet her family and request her hand in marriage for his master's son. The family obliges, as does Rebekah, and after a dowry is exchanged, the servant and Rebekah head back home to Abraham and Isaac. And as the chapter comes to a close, the servant and Rebekah are arriving to the home, and Isaac meets them as they arrive, and we read in the very last sentence that Isaac and Rebekah are married. A God-ordained mission success. Now, I just want to highlight two points that stand out to me in this chapter. The first point is Abraham's decision to seek a wife for Isaac. You know, Isaac, as we said, was 40 years old and certainly capable of finding a wife for himself. But Abraham wouldn't leave it to chance. And this, to me, speaks volume. You know, Nikki and I are parents of children that are nearly adults. And one lesson I see is that parenting, guiding, or whatever you want to call it, doesn't stop just because your kids get older. Now, we can't force them to listen, but we can and should be invested in ensuring they continue to make wise and godly choices. The second point I want to highlight is the love for and fear of God that everyone in this chapter displays. From Abraham, who we know has great faith, but to the servant who prays to God for help in finding Rebekah. Also Rebekah and her family, who upon hearing the servant's tale and the intimate way God was involved in answering the servant in verse 50 and 51, the family says, "The matter comes from Yahweh, so we cannot speak to you bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as Yahweh has spoken." You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as we know from Proverbs. But can I just say that the continuation of wisdom is continued fear of the Lord? Oh, that we would see God at work in this world. And would we submit our lives, our desires, and our futures into his loving hands the same way the faithful saints of old did? The years roll by, but the commands of the Lord remain the same. Trust in the Lord, we read, with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding.
The servant's prayer was regarding God showing steadfast love and faithfulness to his master Abraham. Several times he mentions this. He was asking God to grant him success in doing what Abraham asked him to do. Abraham did say that God would send his angel before him and that he will take a wife for his son there in that land. The servant could have just taken his word for it and not prayed, but he did pray. He desired that Abraham's plans would succeed, and he knew God had to prepare the way for it. A very specific prayer he prayed, so he would know who the lady would be. He knew it had to be a specific one, not just any woman from Abraham's family line. He knows of God's steadfast love and faithfulness towards Abraham, that God keeps his covenant. So he is asking that this matter be directed by God because it has to be part of that covenant of his descendants being as the stars of the sky. He knows that what he is out to do is bigger than just finding a wife for Isaac, but a wife that would be part of God fulfilling that promise. In verse 27, he says, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and faithfulness toward my master." So he blesses God and prays several times on this journey, always making it known it is the Lord's direction and answer to prayer. So what blessings in life can we be sure to give God praise for? This servant was praising God for his faithfulness to Abraham. We can also praise God for the same thing. We are recipients of this covenant, and God used this servant's prayer to bring about his plans.
And I'll end praying for you today from Psalm 100. This is from our Scottish Psalter of 1595, and it reads, "O Lord, the plentiful store of all happiness, since it has pleased thee of thy free mercy and goodness to choose us for thy own heritage and to regenerate us spiritually, entertain us under thy wings unto the end, and grant that we may daily grow in the knowledge of thy goodness, truth, and mercy, which thou hast manifested unto us through our Redeemer and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen."
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Now taxes is 100% free when you file in the TurboTax app if you didn't file with us last year.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, just do your own taxes in the app by 2/18.
What if I have lots of forms?
All good, all 100% free.
What if I had three jobs?
Still 100% free.
What if I once saw Bigfoot?
That has nothing to do with taxes, so still 100% free.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
Now this is taxes. See if you qualify in the TurboTax app. Excludes TurboTax Live, must start and file in app by 2/18.